obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
Please help me welcome our speaker this evening, Billy B. from San Francisco, California.
Hi, my name's Billy and I'm an alcoholic. And what that means is when I start, I can't stop. I just can't stop, you know? Someday when I'm rich and famous and they find my yacht and my limo and the studio calls, you know, and I get a crest, right? On it, it's going to say more. And there'll be a picture of a phoenix up there because that's the bird that rises from its own ashes over and over again. And that's what I did, you know, build it up to smash it down. And why? Not just because I'm an alcoholic, but because I didn't think I deserved any better. I never heard anybody ever say, I went out because I had such great self-esteem. Had to do it. Had to do it. I never heard anybody say, I was so happy, I just had to go back to the cooker. Never heard it. And I don't think I will. I've been standing by the door for 30 years welcoming people back into the rooms because I want to know what happened because I don't want it to happen to me. And I also do it because I know that, you know, you can't feel good when you come back. Even if you're over the shits and the puking, you can't feel good. I tried desperately to stop drinking on my own 2 years before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and my life got worse. You know, instead of having gray outs, I was having blackouts, and instead of it happening for a few hours, it was happening for 4 or 5 days at a time. And I was neither fish nor fowl, you know, and I began to understand it when I got here. I was punishing myself. There was nothing I could do to fuck up my life quicker. Oh, let me apologize for my language right now. I got potty mouth real bad. You know? It's a terrible disease. We're having a telethon soon. And Billy's kids, you know? And I mean no disrespect to any child of God in this room or to the principals of the 12 steps or of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't speak for anybody but my own skanky white ass. You know? I've already blown it because the first thing I wanted to thank the committee for allowing me to speak here tonight. I wanted to thank everybody who's worked on this conference because I know the blood, sweat, tears, and inventory that goes on putting one of these big shows on for our pleasure and edification. And I hope you thank them when you see them, if you know who they are, because they work like a motherfucker. You know? And they deserve it. And I'd like to thank Sparky. He's the reason I'm here. He kept on saying, girl, you're fierce. You need to send them a CD. So I did, and here I am. Thank you, Sparky. And, you know, there used to be an expression in Harlem called good looking out, right? And that's what we do here. We do good looking out. We look out for ourselves. We look out for other people, you know? I mean, what did I ever want in life? You know, let's go back to pertinent facts because I'm about to spin out into space. I do that. I segue badly. And I was born on June 12th, 1941 in New York City. I'm 71 years old, about to be 72. And because of you, skanky motherfuckers, my age is my honor. The age I've attained in life and in these rooms, I couldn't have done it without you. You know, I had my last drink in Jog on March 4th, 1983. I just celebrated 30 years because of you skanky motherfuckers. You know, I want to walk with you. You know, I want to walk with you. I want to be with you. You are the most interesting people on the face of God's green earth. I'll stack that up against anybody else's opinion. You're amazing. You're resourceful. You can set us down in a strange town with no money, and by nighttime we've got our crib and our bottle. Explain that to me, why that's so. And it's a wonderful gift to have if you don't use it against yourself. You know, my problem wasn't that I didn't have good choices in life. I didn't choose good. You know, you're talking to somebody. I realized my picker was busted along about 1985 when Cops in America's Most Wanted was the Sunday night lineup. And I realized I had to watch it religiously every Saturday night to see if my old boyfriends had new tattoos. My picker's busted, you know? And about thinking, well, there was never a day in my life where I woke up and I thought to myself, oh, goody, another day to think, to use the gray cells. I don't want to think. I want one size fits all for every situation and every person in my life. That's what I want. I don't want to have to think. I don't want to have to stretch my muscles. You know, I don't want to do it. There's only one muscle I want to stretch. I'm sorry, but that's it. The rest of it, you know, I want it on a silver platter and I want it now. I don't know who I thought I was. I don't know why I thought I was entitled. Well, I do know why I thought I was entitled. There's two ways you spoil people. You give them everything or you give them nothing. Either way, you know, I was raised by wolves. I was raised by people that were so tacky they gave being urban white trash a bad name. Do you understand? The white trash wouldn't talk to us. Now that's pretty bad. They were some tacky people. And a bar was part of the divorce settlement. Her bar, his bar. Never the twain shall meet, right? That's the kind of people I was raised by. My father was a bookie. And Ma was an alcoholic. Pa became one. And, you know, I understand now. It's a terrible thing in life when all you can think about is yourself and what you want. And that's all they could do. And that's all I could do. And add to that, my picker is busted. And I want things that are going to harm me. When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought, I must be a really terrible person to have gone through what I went through. And, you know, I wasn't. I never was. There's nobody in this room that's a bad person. We do what we do because our hearts are so good. That's the real thing. We are so damn idealistic. It breaks our hearts when we find out nobody, including ourselves, can live up to our own ideals. We want the world to be so good for ourselves and for everybody around us. That's what we want. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't know how to live with disappointment. We don't know how to live with a broken heart. And it made me bitter, and it made me drink because I could forget my heartache. And it was the answer for a while. Oh, it was fabulous for a while. Absolutely. It was the answer for the problem. And then it turned on me. You know, like our boyfriends, they start out so good, and then they turn on you. You know, And the Dalai Lama was asked what he thought of AA, and he said it was the most important spiritual movement of the 20th century. And I'm here to tell you, skanky motherfuckers, it's going to be the most important spiritual movement of the fucking 21st century. Because we got new people here tonight. Everybody who stood up in their first 30 days, you're my heroes. Because you're going through the hard stuff now. And the payoff is that you can just make it through one more day. God bless your heart. You know, that's hard. Because we're the kind of people, you know, we want the biggest bang for our buck. That's what I said, bub. We want the biggest bang for our buck. You know, and here you are, new, you being asked to change absolutely everything about your life, little by little, one day at a time, but you don't know what you're going to get. And when you've been agenda and motive driven all your life, and you come in here, and you have to go through that pain and suffering, that's the stuff that heroes are made out of. And if you're in your first 30 days, you're my hero. Absolutely. Because you've got some stuff. And I would suggest, if any of you want to do yourself a great favor who are in your first year, start a journal. I found mine when I had 5, and I couldn't believe the moxie that little person had. I just couldn't, like it was about somebody else. At a year and a half, I was cleaning houses for a living and business for myself. I went out and to all my clients and asked for references, you know. And I figured I better get some paper, you know, make it look legit. And they all came back on the same week, and if my name hadn't been on it, I wouldn't have known who they were talking about. And I thought, well, what's the difference between the way these people see me and the way I see myself? What's the difference? And they never saw me drunk. I'm not that person I was when I was drinking. That was not the person that God made me to be. See, this is not a program of self-improvement as near as I can figure out. My experience tends to support the idea that this is where we get to be the person God made us to be in the first place, you know? And, of course, you know, I've been practicing in the shower and da-da-da-da, you know, and you know I'm not going to say anything. But there's one thing that remains. What can I say tonight? What can I tell you that will let you know how beautiful you are in God's eyes? Whatever that is to you. What can I say to make that real for you? You know, except to tell you that, you know, it's a loving higher power that's made me live to be here today. It's a loving higher power that's kept me sober all these years. It's a loving higher power that supported me through all the heartache I've had to go through. I got sober in 1983 and people were dying. And nobody knew why, and there wasn't a test for it, and it was very strange. And, you know, God's angels were very good to me when I got here because I was very shattered. I had 3 brain cells left and they weren't talking to one another. It was a terrible resentment. Terrible, terrible. And I got here not because I was afraid of dying. I got here because I knew I was losing my mind. And the idea of wearing hospital fashions for the rest of my life just did not appeal. You know, vanity had as much as anything to do with me coming here and staying here. And I don't care why any of you motherfuckers are here, please stay. I don't care why you're here. I don't care. If you want them to cook, you gotta get them in the kitchen. It's that simple. I'm glad you're here. I don't care if you just got here or you got more time than you. It's grand to see you. It's grand to see you. It's grand to be part of it. You know, my sponsor said to me, Billy, there ain't no great secret to life. He was black and Japanese and bipolar and schizoaffective. And he was the perfect wrench for this nut. And he said, Billy, there ain't no great secret to life. He said, you know, We all want to have enough money so we can live indoors and have some fine threads and pay our bills and be stable. He said, we need to be part of a community and we need to be responsible to that community. And which means we have to show up for it. He said, and we need that because we need people to know who we are. And he said, you know, we need a higher power, and we need to be responsible to that higher power, whatever that is for us. We need to serve it in some way. And usually that means serving our fellow human beings in large and small capacities, and there are no small capacities. Sometimes in these rooms, a hug is as good as heart surgery. Absolutely. There are no small gestures. There are no small kindnesses. There's no small truths, and there's no small commitments. And thank God we don't know how good we are at doing this, because you'd be able to drive a truck through our heads. You know, we'd get so distracted by the good things that we do. And he said, and then we need to get laid. You know? And I'm 71 years old, and I'm a pre-op transsexual, and they're going to have to break it off to get the coffin lid down. I'm 71 years old, and I'm still juicy, just in case you need to know. Thanks to you skanky motherfuckers. So, I'm going to... How much time do I have? Huh?
3 hours.
Oh, okay. And when I was very young, and Lincoln was still alive, I got sick one day, so I went to see some friends of mine, and I thought I was coming down with the flu. I was dope sick. I didn't know what that was. And I went to see a friend of mine, and they gave me a cotton, got me through. And a friend of mine, Gigi, went... we all settled down to go to sleep, because I was so sick I couldn't move any further. And they could see it, so nobody was going to say, leave. And because I wasn't too sick not to fight. And so Gigi was someone who adored me, absolutely adored me, a tranny. Went off into the bathroom, which I knew meant the good stuff was coming out, right? So I waited 5 minutes, went out and knocked on the door. And Gigi didn't answer. Now, Gigi loved me for whatever reason. You know, we love people that we love because we do. There's no better reason than that, you know? And I realized Gigi was dead. And in New York, they have these transoms because it gets hot. And so I put one foot up on the doorknob, crawled through the transom, took Gigi's money and her dope, and I just... I booked. And I didn't think about that for a long time, but I got sober, and I remembered that, and I was so ashamed of that. It just ate at me. And it was eating me alive. And I talked about it with my sponsor, and he said, well, you're not at the ninth step yet. And he said, whatever it is, you can make it right. Whatever you've done in your life, you can make it right. That's why the steps are there, to make it right. And I went to a client's house, and he was dead. And I called his sponsee to come and say goodbye. I called his, the executor of estate. I spoke, called the police, called his mother. And I didn't take a thing. Nothing. And I held the fort till they all got together and got organized, and then I got out of there. And I went to find my sponsor. My sponsor didn't have a phone for the first 5 years. I knew where he was. I always knew where the dope man was. I always knew where the liquor store was. You know, if I want it bad enough, I know. And so I complained to him about, you know, having to go through this. And my sponsor once again looked at me like I was crazy. And he said, you know, Billy Burton, you need to get down on your knees and thank God. God has just sent you a tailor-made amends. You're never going to have to worry about Gigi anymore. And I didn't. I could sleep, you know. And I don't know what the experience of the steps has been for anybody here or what it will be for the people, but don't be afraid of them. Just go on and do them, because you don't make them work. You work them, but God makes them work. You know, that's why a lot of times we're afraid. We're afraid we're either going to find out that we're a monster. We are not. We are God's children, and we are good. We simply were doing the best we could with the information that we had. And the other thing is that if you do them, you're going to find a personal gift from God for you and you alone. Only God knows where that itch is. Only God knows how to scratch it. You know? And I never did have to worry about Gigi again. I never did have to feel ashamed or dirty because of that, you know? And I don't have anything to feel ashamed about today. I mean, I'm a rather peculiar character. I mean, come on, let's face it, darling. You know, here I am, this man, living as a woman. It's rather strange. And it's just the right ticket for me. For the first time in my life, my insides and my outsides match. It's that simple for me. And the funny thing was, I thought, oh, this is going to put me on the outside again after all the work that I've done. And it hasn't, you know, because I get to sit with the straight guys and talk about their girlfriends and tell them what idiots they are. And you know, I get to see with their girlfriends and listen to them say what idiots they are. And I get to sit with the gay guys and hear about their lovers, you know. And I get to sit with the lesbians. And that's a tight union. Amen. And I'm so grateful. You know, when I was 16 and I left home and I was at my most vulnerable place, it was the lesbians that took me in and showed me how to do and kept me safe. You know, the femmes taught me how to put on my makeup. The butchers let me know when I did it right. Yeah. You know? And they kept me safe and they taught me how to do. And, you know, that's it. You see, this is how it is, as near as I understand it. I didn't think my life was worth very much when I got here. So, I, in all honesty, have a debt that I have to pay back to the people who carried this message to me. But, unfortunately, the only way I can pay this debt is to pay it forward. And the greater my life is in value to me, the greater the debt that I need to pay forward. And I ain't never going to get this motherfucker paid up. It ain't never going to happen. But I'm going to have a lot of fun along the way. So, I got 30 years. Why do I still go to meetings? I don't think about drinking. I don't need a daily reprieve from that. I need a daily reprieve from the thinking that precedes the drinking. Mrs. Bates lives up here. And If I don't go to enough meetings, if I don't see enough of you, she gets up out of that chair and she whips my ass. You know, and you saved me from that. You know? All right, this is it. You know, this is a new revelation. You figure different layers of things out as you go along. Okay, why should you not drink today? Aside from the fact that it'll make you useless to everybody else on the planet, including yourself. If you don't drink today, you're probably not going to use drugs today. If you don't use drugs today, the dealers are not going to get their money. If they don't get their money, they can't send it back to Colombia or Afghanistan or wherever. If it doesn't get back there, they can't buy guns and ship them to terrorists all over the world. You want to fight world terrorism? Keep your fucking ass in a chair today. Boom. Now, I don't know how it is for you here, but I know in San Francisco in 2009, the city and county of San Francisco spent $880 million dealing with us in pickup, patch-up, cartage holding, legal fees, emergency room visits, ambulances. We're some expensive tarts. Our drinking is very costly to everybody, you know? And that's a lot of money that could be spent on other things, you know? And if you're not drinking today, you're paying your own bills. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, you know? It's just that simple. You're not costing people money. You're not costing people heartache, you know? It hurts when we go out for the people that stay in these rooms to watch you kill yourself by inches. It hurts. It hurts something fierce. We are having a bad lemming run in San Francisco. It really is. It's been going on every week for about 8 weeks now. Somebody's died. Not just gone out, died. You know, because of the stuff. And if these people knew how well loved they were, you know, I don't know that they would have done it. But we have a disease that says nobody loves us. We have a disease that tells us that no matter what we do, we're doomed. We have a disease that says, why bother? We have a disease that says, you can't fight City Hall. It just goes on and on. And you know, our job, as my sponsor used to say, is to keep our tits up and our ass firm. You know? So we can be of use to somebody else. Yeah, you can take that any way you want it. That's not what I meant. You are some bad children out there. And I love you for it. Don't change a thing. And you know, it's so important that we stay here because we're the only ones that can do the work. Everybody else has to come here. The doctors, the lawyers, the priests, the rabbis, the psychiatrists, they have to come here. And the reason they have to do that is because we're alcoholics. We won't believe anybody else. And what goes on here is nothing less than the restoration and the reclamation of the human spirit. And I, for one, am very glad. You know, the bad news is we're never going to run out of drunks. The good news is we're never going to run out of what to do. You know, I'm 72 years old. I'm not invisible. I've still got something important to do. You keep me young. Thank you. Good night.
We hope you've enjoyed this recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.